In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In our first reading for this day, we read of the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. But prior to this text, the Lord had sent a drought upon the nation of Israel because Israel's king Ahab had provoked him to anger. And so this drought had caused a scarcity of food not only in Israel but also in the surrounding areas. And so it was that Elijah, who had condemned Ahab for his actions and had announced to him that the drought was going to come, Elijah was under threat from King Ahab and was sent away by the Lord to a place where he would be safe for a while. And so Elijah is sent to the city of Zarephath, which is in ancient Phoenicia. There, the Lord had appointed and tasked a widow to provide for Elijah. And this is a widow who had absolutely nothing. This drought and subsequent food shortage had affected her significantly. She was completely out of food, and she had no way of providing. Her husband was dead. Evidently, her son was not old enough to work and provide for the family either. And so the fact that the Lord appointed her to care for his prophet seems a bit strange. Now, you can imagine putting yourself in the widow's shoes that prior to Elijah showing up, she was just going about her business. She was walking out to gather sticks and wood for her last fire. She had hardly any flour and oil left, just enough to make a little bit of food for herself and her son. And so she was preparing to start the fire in the oven to make this bread. She was readying herself to give herself and especially her son one final meal, that they might have one last good memory to share together before they joined their husband and father in death. Now, like anyone, I'm sure that this widow was afraid to die, but more than that, she was afraid to watch her son die. For death by starvation is painful. It's drawn out. But in the moment, she would have been distracted and occupied with her task, collecting the sticks, preparing the meal. It gave her a little bit of a buffer from death, so she didn't have to feel the extent of the emotions that were there under the surface. That is, until the prophet showed up. Elijah's request would have thrust reality into her face because her last diversion was now about to be taken away. This meal that she was about to prepare, this last good memory that she would have had with her son, is now spoiled with the prophet of the Lord who needs some food for himself. And so there was nothing left standing between this widow and death. For she had to provide for this man of God. She had been instructed to do so. The God who had failed to save her husband now sent his prophet to hasten her own son's death. You can imagine the emotion, the fear, the anxiety about what was going to come about, flashing before her eyes. And even the prophet's promise that the flour and the oil wouldn't run out, how much could she trust that? Certainly, at least a part of her had to ask the question, but what if they do run out? After all, God had commanded her to provide for Elijah. He had not said that he would meet her physical needs. In fact, the Bible doesn't necessarily promise this for any of us, that we will always have everything that we need to support this body and life. But this widow brushed aside her doubt. She clung to faith in her Lord, and she confronted the anxiety for her son, which no doubt was trying to instruct her to ignore the prophet's words and at least control what she could control and provide that last good meal and good memory for the both of them. And the Lord did provide for her and her son and the prophet, just as he had promised. But he did not provide until she had confronted that anxiety and trusted in the Lord. So it is that the widow of Zarephath illustrates for us how trusting in the Lord's provision frees us from anxiety about the future and enables us to live in the here and now according to his will. Thus, Christ teaches in our gospel text that we cannot serve two masters. For God and the things of this world are incompatible masters. Both of them want to rule over us, but one is a good and loving master, while the other is a relentless and harsh master. Where will you place your trust? For you cannot serve God and mammon. And so Christ says, do not be anxious, for this is the default position of those who placed their trust in the things of this world. Do not be anxious, for God will provide. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather up food and store it in barns. And God feeds them. Look at the lilies and the flowers. They don't toil or work, they don't spin and make clothing, and yet God clothes them. If God feeds the birds and he clothes the flowers, how much more will he provide for you, who are of infinitely greater value? And yet we must be clear that our Lord is not promising in this text or anywhere else in the scriptures that things will always work out perfectly for us and that all of our wants and even all of our needs will always be met. That's just not the promise that the Lord makes to us. He never promises that we will never suffer. He never promises that we will always have our stomachs filled. He never promises that we will remain in good health, that our loved ones will remain whole and unharmed. Those are the things we would like God to promise. But he promises something far greater. See, Christ promises to us that God is in control. He promises to us that God is good, that God cares for you, that he will provide according to his will, whether or not that will matches yours. And it's true, there will be trouble and evil that we have to face every day. But we Christians face evil and trouble one day at a time, because we know that God is in control. So don't be anxious. There's no need. It doesn't do any good. In fact, it just makes your life miserable. And yet, anxiety is not something that we can just turn off like a switch. Anxiety is a biological response to fear and uncertainty about the future. It is real and measurable and can't just simply be shut off. Thus, our Lord instructs us to fight against anxiety, because anxiety is opposed to faith and trust in the Lord. A known psychological technique for managing anxiety is to ground yourself in the present when you start to feel those feelings of anxiety. That technique would instruct us to observe with our senses, to notice the things around us, the sights and the smells and the sounds, to move your body, get yourself present in the moment rather than worrying about the future. This technique allows you to shift your focus from whatever the anxiety-producing stimulus might be to something tangible that you can see and observe, and that helps to relieve the anxious feeling that you might be experiencing. And it's no surprise that this technique actually does work to relieve anxiety, because it's essentially what our Lord prescribes in the gospel text. Notice the words that are used referring to the birds and the lilies. Look at, gaze at the birds. Consider and observe the lilies. Ground yourself in creation, in the present. And that anxiety or fear about the future will tend to fade away. And yet, Christ's words are not a mere psychological technique. There is a spiritual element to this for us Christians. When you feel anxious and worried about what the future may hold, don't just stop and observe creation. Allow that creation to point you to its creator, to your heavenly Father, so that you don't just see the birds, but you see in the birds the God who made and provides for them. So that you see in the lilies, not just the beautiful flowers, but also the God who sustains and beautifies them. If he does this for the birds and the lilies, how much more will he continue to provide for you? And yet there is an even better place to look than to the birds and to the lilies when we are feeling anxious. And that, of course, is to the cross. And I don't mean figuratively here, look to the cross and think about Jesus. I mean literally look to a cross. Whether that's something on the wall, which is a good reason to have a cross on the wall in every room in your home. Whether that's a cross you might wear around your neck or some image you might have on your phone or carry with you. Look to the cross, literally. Because in those moments of anxiety and fear about the future, the cross is not just a piece of creation. It is a very specific piece of God's creation that reminds us of our God who went to the cross, who suffered and died to atone for your sins. It reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ did not stay there on the cross, but he is risen again. And he's promised to come back to grant you eternal life. Thus, the cross is the key Christian hope which allows us to combat anxiety. For anxiety is fear about the future. But the cross promises us that our future is secure. This world is not our home. We are awaiting the crucified and risen one to come back and grant us the new and restored creation in which we will dwell eternally, where all suffering and evil will be done away with. So no matter what evil this world may throw at you, no matter how much pain and suffering you experience or your loved ones are going through, no matter what earthly want or need is lacking in your life, know this, that in the cross, your eternal home, your eternal future is secure. You know, God didn't have to provide food for the widow of Zarephath and her son, but she was called to act in faith regardless of that. Whether or not he provided, she was called to be faithful. Similarly, God does not have to provide earthly food or clothing or health or happiness for you. And you are still called to trust him and to act in faith. Whatever the outcome, whether he provides in those very tangible ways or whether he doesn't and I or my loved one end up dying in pain and agony, faith looks to the cross. And faith trusts that God is not only in control, but God is good. He works all things for my good. He provides an eternal home for me because of Christ's blood shed upon the cross. And so as a Christian, as one who looks to the cross, I will not be bound by the shackles of anxiety about the things that may happen in the future. No, I will live in the confidence of God's goodness, because my Heavenly Father knows my needs even better than I know them. And so I will fight my anxious distrust of his provision, and I will boldly cling to Christ's cross and live in the freedom that it grants. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.